Greetings to all of you this morning. It's again good to be in the house of God and to worship together with fellow believers as well. Tristan, I know you spent a lot of time preparing for this morning devotions, and I missed it. So I'm thinking you should do it again. Okay, we'll let you off the hook. But anyway, thank you for that. If you would turn in the folder to 52, let's sing that together this morning. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. He knows my need, He knows my need, He knows my need, He's so good to me. He answers prayers, He answers prayers, He answers prayers, He's so good to me. I love Him so, I love Him so, I love Him so, He's so good to me. I'll praise His name, I'll praise His name, I'll praise His name, He's so good to me. He's coming soon, He's coming soon, He's coming soon, He's so good to me. Thank you for singing that. God is so good, even though we sometimes don't understand and can't see through or see even through today or tomorrow, God is still good in what He does. Today you can turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. I switch gears a little bit from where I was planning to go because of communion, and yet I'm not so sure that it'll be too much different anyway, because the book of Hebrews just cannot get away from the topic of what Jesus Christ has done and the difference that He has made in our lives and in the way we conduct our lives and live our Christian life over versus the Old Testament, the Old Covenant way of the things they had to do. And I'm sure that was the writer's idea as he wrote Hebrews, because it's intertwined throughout the whole book. And as we go through this, as time goes on, we'll just continue to see that. He just keeps bringing it back, the comparison between the old and the new and how much better the new is. So remember, the book of Hebrews is known as the book of better things. And so we are privileged today to live in the era that we live in, to be able to experience the better things versus that which the folks in the Old Testament had to do. So I may be a little scattered as I go through this. Bear with me, and hopefully we'll make it through. For sake of time, I did read, I think I've read through verse 8 last time. I'm not sure that I'm going to get very far again today, but I probably will repeat myself a little bit, which you probably won't remember anyway, but I'm really going to start with verse 3 and talk about that and some other things. How shall we escape? Maybe I should back up to verse 2 to get the picture. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. I know that I did talk a little bit about that last time. I'm thinking, and I don't want to sound like a broken record or maybe a record where the needle is stuck and it just goes round and round and you hear the same thing for 5 minutes until you move it. But at the same time, I think to refresh our memories and I'm not sure how much I talked about verse 3, and I think it's in a very important verse for us to look at and to really see how great a salvation that we have been offered. I don't know that we can totally comprehend it. Today, Susie has fully, if she were to be able to be here and talk to us, she would be able to tell us fully what it's all about because she has experienced it in life and now it's reality. She is in the presence of Jesus Christ. I have that confidence. I'm not trying to preach her funeral sermon or I'm not trying to preach her into heaven. But I believe that by all evidence of her life, it shows that she was one of God's children and she was serious. So in my mind, I don't have any doubt. But since we're not there, and all we can do is read and go with the information we have that God has given us, we have plenty to remind us and to help us to appreciate the great salvation that has been given to us. But here the writer is saying, the angels and those in the past, when they sinned and didn't obey, there were consequences. They didn't escape. So he's saying, you have it so much better. They had to go through all these rituals and these rites and these washings and these ceremonies. Now that's in the past. Now we're in the new. You don't have to do that. But we can all come before God. Wherever we are, we don't have to be a priest. We don't have to go to the priest. We don't have to go to a certain place, but we can come to God wherever we are. How great that is. How wonderful that we didn't all have to bring a lamb along with us or a goat or something along to church this morning and the priest is going to slay it here for you for your sins so God will forgive for the moment. That's not the right word. I can't get the word I want. Overlook. I don't like that word either. But it fits God's requirement. I guess that's the best I can do. And so what a mess that would be. We surely wouldn't want to do it here on the carpet. And anyway, it just as you picture that, how cumbersome and how you wouldn't get out of here for lunch. I guess we'd have lunch right here. We'd have meat. But anyway, I'm glad we don't have to do that. I'm glad that we can only look back and we can look at what they had to do. And it sufficed for the time. But it was not sufficient. It wasn't God's ultimate plan. And here we are. Jesus came. At the fullness of time, God sent his Son to provide for us a salvation. And he says, so great a salvation. And so he's telling us, don't neglect it. So there must be a reason for him to say that. And if we start out in the first verse, it tells us we should give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And as we get older and as we go through life, it should mean more and more to us. And it should become a part of our lives. And I've said this before that I don't praise God enough for what he has done. It should be something that's on my lips that readily comes out to worship and praise God because he's worthy and he has done and has provided such a great salvation for us. So let's not forget that. Let's not neglect. And this goes into another area, but since this COVID has hit this year, and maybe I talked about this last time, I'm not sure if I did or not, but many churches are finding that the people, the group that they had before they quit having service, is not the same group, all the same group that's coming back now after the churches are open. I've had two brother-in-laws that testified to that, one in Kansas and the other, I think, in Montana, either that or Texas. And it's like, wow, they're just seeing that the folks that used to come don't come anymore. So why is that? I think the Bible would tell us, don't neglect the gathering together. So what's the reason? I don't know. And I was talking with a neighbor pastor as well yesterday, and he said sort of the same thing. It's people are finding out they can stay at home and have their church service off the screen, and they don't have to go anywhere. But I don't believe that's what the Bible would have us to do. In a sense, I think that's neglecting, and it's not the same as meeting with your brothers and sisters. That is of utmost importance for our own welfare and our own benefit, to help us and encourage us. And especially through the times of sorrow with Alan and Calvin and the families going through at this point, to have a fellowship of brothers and sisters, to surround them and to be with them, to walk with them and to help them and to encourage them. And he goes on to say that it began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Again, he's probably referring to the apostles, the disciples that walked with Jesus, and they were there. And he told them a lot of things. And I'm just going to read a few of those. One is John 6:63. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that Jesus said many times, it referred to the coming of what's going to happen after he gives his life and so on. Although they didn't understand it, and yet the words that he spoke, they gave life. They spoke life. Also another one in John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Then he goes on to say that God bore witness of those things and by signs and wonders. And if you go into, actually our Sunday school lesson's been in that, and I think it's in Acts 7. No, that's Stephen. If you go back to Acts 1 and 2 in the early church, the things that happened, there were people raised from the dead. There were miraculous, Peter and John were The prison doors opened and they walked out. That was a miracle. There was the thing of language when the Holy Spirit came. These were all signs and things that the way God spoke and confirmed what was happening as a witness and to encourage their faith and gifts of the Holy Ghost and so on. So my point this morning is, more than anything, is to help us to appreciate the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and what that great salvation, how that, what a benefit and how great and good it is for us. If those living under the law, who had less privileges than we have, to whom God spoke in various ways by angels and prophets, and many times displeased their Maker, and were often punished in various ways, sometimes death, how shall we escape? In neglecting or ignoring such great salvation. The gospel is greater than the law, therefore, if disregard for the law brought certain punishment, disregard for the gospel will bring even greater punishment. And so, is there any way of getting around it? No. The Bible says that as a tree falls, that's the way it will lay. But there's another verse that, forget what it is, after this is a judgment, but I can't get the first part of it. Anyway, after you die, it's judgment as such, if you're not right with God. And so the choice is ours. God isn't going to tell us we have to accept it. He allows us the privilege of choosing whether we're going to accept His plan. And if we don't, there's consequences for that. But there's so many much more benefits if we do accept His plan. Salvation is the whole system of Christianity, and with all the privileges that comes with it. It truly is salvation. Brings an abundance of heavenly light into the world. It saves or delivers people from the kingdom of darkness, ignorance, error, idolatry, and provides all the means to be free from people, to free people from the power of guilt and contamination of sin. When compared with what was given to the Jews, this salvation is much greater and complete. And I want to read six different comparisons that they are not original with me, but I like how they bring out the differences. The first one is the Jewish dispensation was provided for the Jews alone. The Christian dispensation is for all mankind. The Jewish dispensation was full of significant types and ceremonies, and the Christian dispensation is the substance of all those types. The Jewish dispensation referred chiefly to the body and outward state of man, and washings and external cleansings of the flesh. The Christian to the inward state, purifying the heart and soul and purging the conscience from dead works. The fourth one is the Jewish dispensation promised temporal happiness, the Christian spiritual. The fifth one, the Jewish dispensation had its glory, but that was nothing when compared to the exceeding glory of the gospel. And the sixth one, Moses administered the former, Jesus Christ, the Creator, Governor, and Savior of the world, the latter. This is a great salvation, infinitely beyond the Jewish, but how great no tongue or pen can describe. How true that is. As the songwriter that we sing, the love of God, no pen or tongue. There's not enough paper. There's not enough ink. And if the ocean was ink, there wouldn't be enough to write the love of God, to totally comprehend it, until we get into the presence of God Himself. Hebrews 12:25. I want to turn to that. It's a verse again that just goes along with neglecting. And he says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." You know, as Christians, we're not looking to escape anything. We don't have to, because we have nothing to fear, because our confidence is in God, and God will take care of us, and God has promised a place for us, and he's got promised peace and joy and so on in the life. But if we're not Christian, if we haven't made that step, if we haven't accepted that great salvation, then we do have something to fear, because we don't have the peace and the joy and the hope of the Christian to look forward to. And God will not change his mind for me or you or anyone else. What is written, and God will go according to that. I think we probably better stop there. Okay. Thank you for your attention, and God bless you through this time and the rest of the day. For our closing song, you can look in your Faith and Praise, 324. When you find that, you can stand. We'll be dismissed. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for today and for the blessings of being able to live today in the era of time that we find ourselves. Thank you again for Jesus, for the great salvation that he has provided for us, that he was willing to give his life and to shed his blood, to go all the way to Calvary, to hang there in shame and agony because he loved us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, that you arose from the dead, and that you are interceding at the right hand of the Father for us today. We're grateful for that. We will be ever, forever grateful, God, for your mercy and your grace to us as your people, people that are not worthy of such great love. But we thank you for accepting us as we are. Again, I pray a blessing on each person here today. God, may you go with each one. Help us to walk with you in sincerity and in truth, and help us to display your image to those that we come in contact with. Bless Alan again, and Calvin and Carolyn and Cameron, Trevor and Caitlin and Kitty and Kevin. Bless them through the day. Encourage and strengthen them. May they feel your presence in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.